Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues. Commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.
Amendment and approval of today's meeting agenda. Entertain a motion to approve today's meeting agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger to approve today's minutes, unless there's someone that wants to make an amendment. All those in moving forward as it's presented, say aye.
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 Okay, next item on the agenda is item 5, and that's public hearings. And public hearing for ordinance 2018-15 is the only public hearing today. And that is an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code, Chapter 14.20, entitled Municipal Harbors, and that's to increase the harbor fees. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to participate in this public hearing? Okay, seeing none, public hearing is closed. There are no bid awards today. The next item on today's agenda is visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. Is there any visitors with views? Whoever wants to go first, please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'm Sue Paulson, and I'm here part of a group that's interested in reforming the senior sales tax exemption as it is today. And so, just a few words in support of the submitted paperwork. Everybody likes to save money. The senior tax exemption is an example of that. The longevity bonus was also popular during the oil-rich time of Alaska. That program was not sustainable. And with nearly 600 sales tax exemption cards in Petersburg, this program is ready for reform. The state of Alaska still offers a form of the bonus to low-income seniors. This proposed sales tax reform still offers a form of exemption to low-income seniors. To keep borough infrastructure, services, and institutions strong, we need revenue. Everyone has ideas on how are the best ways to balance the borough budget. I've had an interesting time asking people for their opinions around town. I've got a lot of opinions, and I know you have too. And I know it's wonderful that the borough of Petersburg has made it possible for everybody to submit their own ideas on how we can keep our revenue stream going here. And of course, that's going to keep going. But in the age of the aging population and declining state money, we are facing an ongoing problem these next few years. We're hoping the voters will endorse this plan as part of a larger plan. Let the debate begin. Please put this question on the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Sue, please state your name and who you represent.
Hi, my name is Susan Flint, and I represent myself and a lot of what I have to say. I guess Sue has just covered, but I'll go ahead and take a couple minutes anyway. I had a brief history of the senior sales tax exemption. In the early 70s, oil money was pouring in to the state, and our programs were initiated to help seniors remain in Alaska, such as the longevity bonus, property tax forgiveness, etc., for the pioneers. Petersburg gave its seniors the sales tax exemption and then went on to follow that ordinance with an ordinance that taxes cannot be changed without a vote of the people. In other towns, you, the elected officials and representatives, would make those decisions, but in Petersburg, the voters do. And that fact has made it pretty hard to make any changes to our program. So now, almost 50 years later, we still have this pioneer program, and the pioneers' grandchildren are getting the sales tax exemptions. The courts changed the longevity bonus program long ago to a needs-based program, and the ordinance we've put before you changes our sales tax to a needs-based program. Some have asked about how did we come up with the amounts for the rebates. There was a UAF study that showed that Alaskan couples age 50 to 70 spend about $7,900 annually. At our 6% tax rate, that came out to about $470 in taxes, sales tax. So we settled on the $300 per senior and $450 per couple. If that's more than they actually paid in sales tax, so be it. They have a proven need, and the money will more than likely be spent here in Petersburg. Also, the refund checks don't affect their qualifications for Medicaid or any other assistance. They can keep these checks just like they keep their PFD checks. Right now, about 100 seniors out of our nearly 600 exempt now receive this Alaska senior benefit, the program that used to be the longevity bonus. And probably another 100 or so will qualify for other senior assistance programs. So we could conceivably have 300 fewer exempt seniors, those who don't really need it, but take it because it's there, it's offered. If we don't make changes, the number of exemptions will continue to rise, and I'm afraid so will our budget cuts and property taxes. So please, I ask you to support this change that provides sales tax refunds to those seniors who really need assistance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Haverling?
I just have a question. So will we get an opportunity when we talk about this ordinance to ask a couple of questions of the people that spoke?
Sure, that would be better, I suppose. Okay. Either that or ask them now, maybe, so we're not doing it when we're discussing the...
Sure. So, Mr. Mayor, I just had a question about if the Assembly passes this ordinance, will your group work to...
Support it? Exactly. We're happy to, hoping to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Thanks. Any other questions? Okay, Mr. Haverlick.
Thank you. John Haverlick, representing myself. And I'm in agreement with the previous two speakers, and they speak well, so I'll make this really quick because I don't. I see the senior sales tax exemption as a welfare program, and we're giving welfare to people who really don't need it for the most part. I think we should give it to people who are qualify for the poverty level on the federal standard, but otherwise, to me, we're giving welfare to people who don't deserve it and hurting younger people with families that need the help, making them pay for people that don't. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the room with views related to items on today's agenda? Please step forward, state your name, who you represent.
I got two of them. Oh, here I am again. Can I get up? Can I speak on two things?
Sure, you've got 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, neither one's going to take long. Because okay. First one, my name is Joe Bertignoli. I'm speaking for myself. And basically, I just want to say I disagree with the first three speakers. That's as simple as that. That was my statement on that. I finally achieved status in this community where I get my little card and you're going to take it away. Thanks. I don't have mine. They've got theirs. But anyhow, that was my little blurb on that one. So now I got to put my glasses on for this next one because I'm in a reading. Again, my name is Joe Bertignoli. I'll say it again. Mr. Mayor and Assembly members, thank you for hearing me. I'm here today representing the negotiating team of the Petersburg Municipal Employees Association. As PMA, we stand and defend our members for maltreatment on the job. Our members do not elect us as their negotiating team to tolerate maltreatment at the negotiating table. We are respectfully asking that you do not vote to unilaterally implement the last, best, and final offer from August of 2017. A vote to unilaterally implement will bring to fruition Borough Manager John Hoag's attempts to interfere with and coerce PME members to accept an inequitable contract, or as Mr. Hoag described it, a bitter pill. PME members are not tourists. We are your employees, everybody in this room, parents, neighbors, homeowners, voters, and much more. We care about all of Petersburg, and we prefer to move forward with honest and fair negotiations versus a long, drawn-out public fight. Therefore, we are asking you, with your power as the Assembly, to direct the borough's negotiating team to go back to the negotiating table and direct manager Stephen Giesbrecht to co-chair, future negotiations. Perhaps then he can see what his spokesman is truly like. Although when dealing with the mediator, Mr. Hoag's arrogant demeanor was noticeably softened. The manager stated at the last meeting about only hearing one side of the story. This is totally correct, as the assembly and manager are only hearing John Hoag's side of the story. As Petersburg constituents and employees, we appreciate your service to our community and all that you do. In the folders that were distributed, you will find a copy of the statement along with materials related to our 2017-28 contract negotiations, including a copy of the ULP, unfair labor practice, charge that was filed, along with the state's response showing that the hearing officer is unavailable until after June 19th, and Borough Chair's John Hoag's response stating that the case proceeds to a hearing, there will be a substitution of counsel. Again, I'm respectfully asking on behalf of all PMEA members that you do not vote to implement the last best and final offer from August of 2017. So that was what I formally wrote, but basically what it all boils down to is we are more than willing, especially in light of the recent comings and goings at the negotiation for IBEW, where they seem to have come to an agreement amongst the members, in which you guys and gals will be voting on today. All we were asking, again, as everybody says, in fairness, that's where we want to get back to the table. Let's talk, let's get this over with, and move these ULPs, move all this other stuff behind us. That's all we wish. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Anyone else in the audience with views related to items on today's agenda? Mr. Lee and then the other gentleman.
My name is Eric Lee, representing myself. I just wanted to make a simple point about the senior sales tax exemption discussion. One thing about it, I don't think it's really been recognized. I haven't seen anybody or heard anybody talking about it. But the fact is, when the seniors buy things, they don't pay tax initially on their purchase. But someone does make a few bucks off that purchase, whatever merchant sold them that item. And then that money enters the economy. And each time that money is spent within the community, it is taxed, unless it's, you know. So for that reason, I think it's important to try and accommodate as many lower income people as possible, because they do help the economy. Even if they don't pay sales tax initially on their initial purchase, that money enters the economy, and is each time it's recirculated, it is taxed. So I just want to make the point that we should try and accommodate the lower income people, the fixed income people that are kind of deciding whether they can live here or not, because things are so much cheaper south. You know, the basic stuff that they buy, they don't spend money on frivolous things, but they buy food and gas and things like that. And when they see the prices down south, that's kind of tempting to move away. So, you know, if we can keep those people here, I think the community is better off. The economy is better off, and we should view them as somewhat of an asset rather than, you know, a charity program. So that's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Member Nucci?
So, Eric, are you in favor of us putting the ordinance on the ballot?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yeah, I can see some changes. It could be improved. The current system, some changes could be made, absolutely. But my point is simply that we should, in the language of the ordinance, there should be accommodating language that will encourage people that are on borderline, whether they're deciding to stay here or leave, they can stay here. You know, I'd like to see that. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Anyone else in the audience with views, step forward, state your name and who you represent, please.
Joel Hill, Southeast Field Rep for APEA, representing the PMEA Association. I'm just piggybacking on what Joe commented on, that we're asking you to continue to hold in abeyance a decision, basically because the Alaska Labor Relations Agency has not heard the case yet. They will not even be back in the office until June 19th, possibly June 20th. So I would ask that for your consideration to hold off until you have a decision from the Alaska Labor Relations Agency. So, let's see if there's anything else. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hill. Anyone else in the audience with views related to topics on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item on the agenda, and that's visitors' views unrelated to items on today's agenda. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to something not on today's agenda? Seeing no interest, the next item on the agenda is item 9, board, commission, and committee reports. There are none. There's no items on the consent agenda. The next item is 11, reports of other officers, and we will have Sheelan from Mountain View Manor Assisted Living give us a presentation.
I need just a second here to set up, close the shades. Oops.
I don't have my glasses on. You're going to have to X that out.
Oh.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
How do you get out of it? I can't see it.
You can just try that.
Oh, there you go. You did it. Good job.
Okay. Hi. I'm Sheelan, and I'm the director at Mountain View Manor, and my presentation today is going to be on Petersburg elderly housing as well as assisted living. We're doing a combo. Can everybody see all right? Okay. Disclaimer, first of all, is I have asked power of attorneys and residents or both to share any information, any pictures that you see. So here is elderly housing, and the building was opened in 1982. It's income-based, HUD-subsidized, so approximately 30% of a person's income would be their rent, and then HUD subsidizes the rest of that. We have 24 apartments. There's one two-bedroom apartment and then 23 one-bedroom apartments. We have food service that rents our kitchen. Some people think that I'm in charge of that, and I'm not. They just go ahead and rent our kitchen, and they provide meals Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the town as well as the people that live in the building. A lot of the people sign up for that, which is a really great service. It's $6 and $7 if you have delivery, which is really great in the winter time for people who are shut in. And then we have 3 scheduled van rides a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9:45. We take people downtown, pick them up at 11, and that's a great way for people to get out. Right now we have 25 residents in that building, 1 cat and 3 dogs, and 7 people on the elderly housing wait list. Our inspections include HUD REAC and management occupancy review. The REAC is probably the most terrible one because they've come in before, and if they see one speck of paint missing, you'll notice on our budget this year, we're trying to get all the decks painted and anything brown painted on that building. If there's one piece of paint missing, they will write you up. So we have to be really careful of that. And then when I first took over, they wrote us up for every single speck of paint on the sprinkler system. So we had to get those all taken care of and ended up with an A+, but it's very nerve-wracking because it's the government. Then we have the basic fire marshal, elevator, sprinkler system, fire alarm systems, DEC, food service for the kitchen down there, as well as the assisted living kitchen. So it's springtime, so it's the time for inspections. We have a social hall that's rentable to the public. We have Rotary graciously donated them a large screen TV, which they absolutely love. Flower gardens, lawn. We have a barbecue for resident get-togethers, and that's where they gather to watch Price is Right every day at 10, if anybody's interested. The Rotary Christmas party, these people totally live for this. They look forward to it so much. They dress up, but they just have a great time. The whole building shows up, and a lot of the town folk and people from the hospital. And that's really fun for elderly housing staff manager. Michelle Lopez is my administrative assistant, and JJ Casares is my maintenance guy. He's goofing off there. And now we'll go to assisted living. And our mission statement is in partnership with our community to provide a safe, secure, and caring environment offering services which support independence, dignity, choice, privacy, and meet the needs of our residents. The families that I've worked with for the past 14 years have been incredible. They're just a total joy. We opened in January 2004, which is the year I started there. We have 12 apartments on the first floor that were assisted living, and then there's 4 two-bedroom apartments upstairs and 4 one-bedroom apartments upstairs that were all independent on that top floor. So the bottom floor was only assisted living, and we were licensed for 15 residents at that time. And in October of 2012, the council voted to make it assisted living preference, meaning that anybody can rent an apartment in town, but for assisted living, we needed to have more available for those folks. So I put in for a licensing increase, and we got raised to 30 residents, and this allowed people to age in place upstairs and not have to move downstairs when it was time for assisted living, which was really nice. Today we have, out of the 20 apartments, 17 are assisted living, and we have 20 residents living in those. There's a couple of couples and 3 that remain independent. Right now we have 26 26 people on our wait list, I should say. And our inspections are Alaska Housing Finance, Medicaid, state licensing, fire, elevator, sprinkler systems. You can read them all, but the main ones are Medicaid. A lot of them are files and audits, and Alaska Housing as well. So it's endless inspections really down there, which is good. Keeps us on our toes. Assisted living staff, right now we have 10 full-time resident assistants and 6 part-time resident assistants, 7 fill-ins. We need a lot of fill-ins for people who are going on vacation and sick. Full-time cook, part-time cook. And we have shared maintenance man, JJ, and shared Michelle Lopez for administrative assistant. This is just some pictures of staff. Day shift is 7 to 3:30, swing shift 3 to 11:30, and grave shift we have 2 shifts now. Here's some of the creatures of the night, which I'm very thankful for. And then we have Anna, who is a position I wanted so badly to create and finally did a couple years ago, and she just makes the whole place. She's wonderful. She keeps them moving, and she works from 8 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. Ann Renda is our main RN, and Mindy Enriquez is our part-time RN. She works at the Petersburg Medical Center as well. Christy Axemaker, we partner with them, and so she's the home health nurse. And there she is. And she comes and she follows some of the residents at the manor that are under the home health umbrella of Petersburg Medical Center. And here's some more staff with various shifts. We've got lots of staff. And here is our newest staff member, Cooper. And Cooper is the fuzzy one, and Elena is the cute one. And anyways, he's going to be an emotional support dog, and the residents and staff love him so far. He's a good guy. Services we provide: a safe and caring environment, apartment and grounds maintenance. We provide 24 monitoring of our assist residents, assistance with activities of daily living, walking, eating, dressing, bathing, toileting, laundry, housekeeping, transportation. I make and I take the residents to their appointments, so that way I can help track their needs better, and it's accurately portrayed to the doctors and nurses what's going on. Resident laundry we do, and supervision of medication administration, take care of all the medications, and then we just keep them busy and moving with activities and provide 3 nutritious meals a day. And there we have the dining room, or you can have room service. We collaborate with different groups. We work hand in hand with Petersburg Medical Center just to take care of them. Petersburg Rexall Drug with Rexall, they align all of our medications that we give with the doctor's orders every month, and every week we rectify everything. Dennis Rotary, the Elks Lodge, First Bank, and local churches. The Rotary helped us get our walk-in jacuzzi, and we just love that. It's just so easy for them to get in and out. There's my model. And First Bank And the Elks Lodge has helped us with these projects, too. We just redid our kitchen where that tray is sitting there. That used to be a door, and this kitchen was only meant to cook for, like, maybe 10, 12 people at the most, and now we've got 20 meals that we're cooking at least every day in there. So we're very grateful to them. The Lutheran Church comes up and does weekly communion with our residents, and the Salvation Army, she comes up and does crafts with them. Here's a picture of Kate and Cooper having a meeting. And activities, we just keep everybody moving, just try to keep them moving all the time. We're totally responsible for a lot of these people, just entertaining them and keeping them going. So we do bowling, do dancing, just keeping them busy with games, sunbathing, and then crafts. And picnics. A shout out to Liz Cabrera again for our van and helping us get that grant. It's allowed these people to get in and out and to go out and do things that they weren't allowed to do before, or weren't able to do before because of our van. We're celebrating every chance we can. Any holiday, Anna's got them celebrating. Grandparents' Day, Valentine's Day, you name it. And they don't just dress up, they party. We don't miss a parade. Try to be in all the parades. This last year on the St. Patrick's Day was beautiful. 4th of July. There's Patty celebrating Halloween. And then we had the dancing this year with the Pickled Herring Band, which they loved. Christmas is a big deal. We decorate both buildings inside and out. And for the people that don't have family, it's up to us to keep them feeling like it's a special time of year. And the Rotary, once again, the assisted living folks head down for that party, which is just a great time for everyone. Here's some fun facts. 10 out of 20 residents that we have are in their 90s. We have a resident who has a movie in the making with Michael Mann. He's the guy that did The Contender and The Last of the Mohicans. The book is the biography of Luke Short, so you can probably guess who that resident is. 17 residents have been in Alaska for over 80 years. There's 4 World War II veterans living with us and a Korean War vet. One resident helped build the Alcan Highway in 1943. Right now we have 2 retired RNs at the Manor and 2 school teachers and 1 taught for 34 years locally. One resident built 18 houses in this town. One served on the first hydroelectric board. Another served on the first local planning and zoning committee. And one served 27 years on the school board locally and 4 on the state school board. And my husband and I were watching that show that Tom Hanks had done. I have it written down here somewhere. Oh, shoot. Anyways, John Bassalone, the World War II one, The Pacific, that was the series. I went in and I was talking to my resident about this, and he said, oh, I fought with him near Iwo Jima. In fact, I went to school in Woodburn, Oregon, all through school with his wife. He ended up marrying his wife, and it's like these guys are always surprising me with what they've done and who they know. One resident's dad started Alaska Glacier Seafoods in 1816, and 8 of our residents were born in Petersburg. 9 businesses were locally started by our current residents or their families, and one of our residents just got her ears pierced at the age of 99 last week. And then I got to thinking about it, and I grew up on the same street as 6 of my residents, which is kind of fun. Challenges, there's not enough hours in the day. There's 44 households in both buildings, and it's very busy. Staff burnout's a problem in assisted living. It's physically and emotionally, it's hard at times. It's also a joy. Last minute scheduling, those 3 o'clock in the morning phone calls, I can't come to work tomorrow. Assisted living budget, since we have so many people in their 90s, their level of care has not gone down, it's gone up, which requires more staff. There's no monotony, which is good if you embrace it. And every day there's surprises. Lifting the residents is hard. Hopefully we'll get our stand-up Hoyer lift, and then one person can just move that. If you want a job that has no monotony and every day is different and you try to beat the clock, this is the job for you. The future of elderly housing, we're going to replace the boilers that are very old this year. We would love to have more covered parking spaces. We'd love to have a walking trail around the facility. These are our dream things. A mini dog park with a small shelter and for something for the humans to stay dry in. Handicapped accessible garden area. A four-wheeler with a snowplow. That was JJ's idea. Future assisted living wish list. We would love to have a deck between the two buildings to get the evening sun, if we ever get evening sun. Hardwood floors in the dining room. It looks like they have food fights, but they don't. And the carpet shows it. Bigger parking lot would be great. And a covered area on our existing deck, just so they could be outside, even if it is drizzling a little bit. Vinyl siding on the building would be good, too. We're thankful we are making a difference in these guys' lives, an opportunity to serve them after all that they've done for this town and for us. We love visitors of any kind, so come on by and visit. This is the place where being 90 is practically being a kid. And does anybody have any questions?
It's not a question, but I'm just... I want to thank you and your staff for the valuable service you provide to the elders in our community. Just thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheila. Is there any other questions by assembly members? Okay. Let them get things squared away, and we'll move on with the agenda. Do we get to open the curtains again?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Please.
Absolutely.
I'd go to sleep. Thank you, Debbie. Next item on the agenda is the mayor's report. It's fairly short. We're still seeking letters of interest. The Petersburg Borough is seeking letters of interest from qualified borough residents to serve our community by filling one of the vacant seats listed below. Public Safety Advisory Board, there's one seat. Appointment to either seat will be in effect until October 28th, October of 2018, rather, the regular municipal election. Also, in addition, there's the Historic Preservation Commission has two vacant seats, one for an assembly member representing with a representative with a term ending of 12/31/2019, and one for an archaeologist or at large with a term ending the same date, different date, 12/31/2020. And letters of interest, as usual, could be submitted to the borough clerk at dthompson@petersburgak.gov. Or by bringing them by the office or mailing them to Box 329. This will be my last meeting through, it says August, but it'll be through September due to the fishing season. And I will be attending in late August Alaska Municipal League Conference in Denali. That's been budgeted for. One thing that was given to all the assembly members, and I just want to let Southeast Conference know that this resolution that Cindy Logadakis plans on presenting to Southeast Conference hasn't been vetted by the Assembly. So as far as her presenting it to the Southeast Conference on her own, that's fine. And it's about the transboundary rivers. It's resolution 18-07. I think we all have a copy. And that's it for the mayor's report, except for, I guess I can just say, Mayfest was well attended from people from out of town, and the nice weather made everybody pretty cheery there on Thursday and Friday. It was a great great weekend. So that brings us to the manager's report. And the clerk and I were talking before the meeting. And if it's all right with the assembly, Since the manager's not here, we won't have the clerk read it unless there's a specific question by the assembly. Member Mucci, you have
a... Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just wondering if I could just kind of get an update on the last item on there regarding the solid waste baler. I've had a couple people explain to me what they thought the issue was. And I was just wondering if I could just get an explanation.
I was going to ask for that as well, and I had some budgetary questions for replacement of it since it's old. Anyway, would that be Chris or Carl?
Yeah. So the baler is still non-operational at this point. We have a replacement controller, or not a replacement controller, a rebuilt controller being shipped back. We expect to have that in the next day or two, and should have it back up and running this week. For those that aren't familiar with what has happened, in late April we had a breakdown of the conveyor that hauls the trash up into the baler. That was down for a few days. We got the conveyor back up and running within about a week, and then pretty much right as we accomplished that repair, the baler itself broke down, and it was the main controller that quit working. And that controller's original, it's over 20 years old. We had the foresight several years ago to acquire a spare from another community whose baler had had a mechanical failure. Their controller was still operating, so we acquired that spare, and that's the controller that we've just finished rebuilding. Our original controller is not rebuildable and not supported anymore by anyone, so we had the spare available, got it programmed with the programming for our baler, and it's on its way back to us. So yeah, we should have that working again by the end of the week.
Any other follow-up questions, Member Mucci?
No, thank you.
So, I don't know the age of the baler, but quite old. And a few years back, it had a major rebuild, didn't it? And Carl or Chris, by Russ Christ and John Augustine from Wrangell.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
So I'm just curious if this is costing us more to ship out the garbage at this point, and if we're budgeting for the future replacement of the baler, what the life expectancy. It sounds like isn't much longer. I'm just curious.
As far as the cost, yeah, I think it is costing us a little bit more to ship out in open top containers. The difference isn't large. You know, there is a difference, but we should be able to start baling again soon. And as far as the baler lifespan, Carl can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that was put in 96. And so it's 22 years old. The conveyor portion of the baler is completely worn out, rotted away. There's really nothing left at this point. We need to replace it. We had budgeted to do that a couple years ago. The numbers for the replacement came in a lot higher than our budget, so we elected to try and get a couple more years out of it. At this point, it's really on borrowed time. I anticipate replacing that portion of the baler will be, just a guess, $150,000 to $200,000. We're going to get that figured out here and probably bring it to the assembly at some point during the next few months. The baler itself, which consists of the hopper and the rams that compress the bales and eject the bales, that's a pretty solid piece of equipment. We did a reline on it in 2009, which is basically just replacing all the wear surfaces. And we figured we'd probably get a good 10 years out of that. And, yeah, it's getting to where it's going to need to have that done again. But the frame of the machine is solid, and so it's probably not a situation where we want to try and replace the whole thing. I think we need to replace the conveyor. If we reline the baler itself, I think we should be able to get another 10 years out of it. and it's going to need some controls work as well. I don't have an idea what that's going to cost yet. The reline itself, I think last time we had about $80,000 into that, and so, you know, steel costs more now, so I would expect it to be a little bit more than that to do the reline. You know, these things are things I'm going to be looking into in more detail, and I'm going to bring this probably a package of things to the assembly for discussion. You know, options we have, what's it going to cost to do conveyor replacement and a reline versus just, you know, buying a whole new machine sort of thing.
Thank you. Any other questions of Chris or Carl on this? Any other questions on items on the manager's report?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Member Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's not really on the manager's report, but regarding this resolution on the that's going to Southeast Conference, do we need to look at it and bring it before us again to see if we're for it or against it? Or I was just curious what we're supposed to do with this.
From what I've read in the Ms. Logadakis's email, she wasn't asking for that. I don't know if we should take action on something that wasn't on the agenda advertised 3 days ahead of time. That's up to the assembly. Did you think, clerk, that she was looking for support or on this? Have you talked to her?
I actually haven't been able to talk to her, so it's really just been emails. But, you know, we could. It's not a done deal resolution. I know that they're having a meeting in a couple days, I think the 6th Southeast Conference is, but I believe that it's got to go through different committees, so I don't know if they'll actually be voting on it on the 6th. I could find that out, and if the assembly would like the resolution to be on the next agenda, and you can vote on whether you support it or not, we could do that.
Right. I think it should be advertised personally for the 3 days, like other action items on the agenda, before we take action. Not that I'm opposed to it. We've already supported different resolutions in regards to the transboundary river issues, the mining upstream. So,
I think it'd be, I'm sorry, Mr.
Yes.
I think that'd be proper to put that on the next meeting agenda then, or the second one in June. At least I'd feel comfortable with that.
Will do.
Thank you.
Any other discussion, Member Beattie?
No, thank you.
Okay, so that's it for the mayor's and manager's report. That brings us to unfinished business. First item under unfinished business is ordinances for third and final reading. First ordinance is ordinance 2018-13. This is an ordinance determining that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding shall be retained for a public purpose.
Sorry.
I would entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2018-13 in its third and final reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Moreau, seconded by Member Strand to adopt ordinance 2018-13. And it's the third and final reading. Any discussion? Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So on the title of the ordinance, it says it shall be retained for a public purpose. What is that public purpose?
Carl, can you explain that? Isn't it for right-of-ways, utility right-of-ways and stuff, if I recall? But maybe another
Actually, the purpose hasn't been determined yet. But it's a good placeholder. That piece of property is chopped up quite well with easements and the right-of-way right there. It's not a very buildable piece of property, and so the thought was, because there are the electric utility runs through there, wastewater facility is utility is pretty close, that it potentially could be used for a utility purpose in the future. Right now we don't have an identified purpose, but just considering the layout of the lot and the time having to go into marketing that and trying to sell it to somebody that could actually use it for a purpose, we just decided that we would try to hold on to it for a future public purpose yet to be determined.
Did that answer your question, Member? Okay, is there any other discussion on ordinance 2018-13? Clerk, call the roll.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2018-13 passes unanimously. That brings us to the third and final reading of ordinance 2018-14. This is an ordinance adopting the budget for fiscal year July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2019. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance or adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So move.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Stanton-Gregor to adopt ordinance 2018-14. Any discussion? Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to amend this fiscal year budget to remove the $2,000 placeholder for the department head raises.
I'd like to second that.
Okay, motion's been made to amend the budget to remove the $2,000 bonus that's proposed for department heads. Any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Mayor?
Member Mucci.
Yeah, the purpose that I'm asking for this is that we're negotiating with the APEA, and I think it'd just be a good start for making all these processes work. I'm not against giving the department heads a raise at a later date, but I think it would just show goodwill from the assembly as a way to start here.
Any other discussion on the amendment? I will be voting in favor of this amendment. If you look at the spreadsheet that was put in the paper last week, and Member Moreau presented it to us at the first reading, I believe, of the budget, whatever date that meeting was. There was a $1,500 bonus in 2016. Last year, there was a 4% increase, and with the restructuring and stuff that just took place earlier this year, there's been some wage increases. So I'm willing to let it ride as it is without the $2,000 bonus at this point. Any other discussion before we vote?
I actually had a question for
Member
Jody.
Castro.
If we were to remove this, if this were removed, where would this money go? Would it just enter back into the general fund?
Into the reserves. Well, not the general fund for all the department heads, because they're not being paid that. You know, Carl's being split between water, wastewater, and electric. Okay. It would fall into their reserves. And Sheila, you know, in the elderly housing and assisted living. And anybody else? Oh, Glow, the harbor. So.
Okay, so then this money would then be able to be reobligated toward other purposes that department would find necessary. Okay.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the amendment?
Go ahead, Karen.
Clerk call. Member Walter.
I think one of Steve's arguments was he wasn't really sure, you know, who was going to need, you know, to have their wages adjusted, you know, so that they were more in par with the market basket, you know.
Variables.
The variables, yeah. And so I think that's something that we need to look at here in the future. So I agree with you, Mark. I think I'm going to probably vote against this right now, but I think we will bring it up individually as we go through and make amendments to the budget, I think, later on in the season. So it's not like I don't believe they don't need a raise, but I think, you know, I agree with Jeff. You know, I presented this last meeting, you know, to do the same thing. I think until we settle the union agreements, I think we should probably, you know, hold off just a little bit. So I'll be voting for this amendment.
Member Strand?
So I'm in favor of the bonus. However, if we don't approve it right now, will we be able to approve it in a month, say, or 6 weeks? Is it whenever the APEA discussion is done?
That would be a question for Jody, but my opinion would be you can do a supplemental budget change at any point during the fiscal year.
So. Yeah, correct.
Yep. Right. So, yes, it can be changed. So, any other discussion on the amendment to Ordinance 2018-14? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
A yes vote means to remove it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
A yes vote means to remove it.
That's right. I'll vote yes.
Thank you. Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the amendment to ordinance 2018-14 passes unanimously, and that is to remove the $2,000 bonus at this time. Any other discussion on the ordinance as amended? Member Stanton Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm trying to learn to be a bit redundant and make my points during each reading and keep in case people have missed the previous one, so I'll do that here. On the whole, is it a perfect budget? Of course not. I wish there was more money for human services, et cetera, et cetera. It's a pretty fiscally conservative budget that the finance and administrative staff has worked very hard on. And it's kind of like a good compromise. I don't feel totally satisfied with it, but it shows they put their time and effort in to make it work. So I'll definitely be voting yes.
Okay. Any other discussion on the main motion as amended the budget?
There was a memo in this packet.
Oh.
And I was wondering if one of the assembly members could make the motion if they choose to do the electric department changes that were addressed in the memo.
Right. Could this again be done under a supplemental budget? Or and that was from Utility Director Hagerman, wasn't it, to take some money out of some kind of a building fund, wasn't it? Carl, can you explain it? And then put it into tree clearing. And I just happened to bump into one of the linemen, and they said some of those trees are of great concern. And I was hoping they would be on the same corridor as the SEPA transmission line, so maybe we could get them to, you know, ease some of the financial burden. But anyway.
Unfortunately, that's not the case. So to back up just a little bit on this, it's basically there was an oversight on my part during the budget development that there was a longstanding capital project fund that I didn't know about that was titled basically moving the pole yard out to Scow Bay. A lot of that work has been done, but there was still some money left in that fund. And I had, not knowing that, I'd put some money in the proposed budget to build some covered storage out there in the pole yard at Scow Bay. When Jody asked, well, what about this other fund? Are we going to do anything with it? Can we close it out? It was the light bulb went off, we don't need that $50,000 to build covered storage in the operation budget if we've got this capital fund that's sitting there, and that was the purpose for it in the first place. So I shifted gears on wanting to use that capital project fund for the covered storage, which it's intended to do. But that $50,000 at the same time, this realization that we've got problem trees, not just out the road out at 8 Mile, but all over town, that we really need to address. And so the thought was, well, we still have that $50,000 that's in the proposed budget. Let's shift that over and allocate it to tree removal so that we can take care of some of that those issues for the long term. It'll help us out. It doesn't really change the budget very much. It just moves the money around and uses it effectively to handle some of these issues. And the trees out at 8 Mile, you know, the outage that we had, it's like 5 weeks ago now, was the result of one of these troubled trees. The top came out of it and broke the cross arm. We were out of power for 5-6 hours just for that one event. It's one tree of many in that area that are close to the lines. They're dead, they're leaning, and really need to be addressed. I'd rather do that proactively than have them do it at 2 a.m. When we have an outage. So
that makes sense. So this would go out to bid since the line crew can't handle these particular trees. Is that how we would do it? Would we send out an RFP or?
We would go with our procurement, and generally I'm looking at this as a professional service. It's essentially, we're asking a faller to go out there and give us some service that we can't do ourselves. And so I view it as a professional service, which doesn't require that we go out to bid. We could do an RFP. We've got a proposal already from the local licensed bonded contractor that does this work. But not to say that if somebody pops up as a result of this discussion and says, hey, I'm able to do that as well, that we can't get a competitive quote from that person. But it will be a contracted service.
Okay. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So can we amend?
We would need a motion to
amend. So we
do you have a copy of it? I don't have a copy of the proposed.
The motion's at the very bottom of the memo.
Right.
Okay.
So, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make the motion to amend the proposed fiscal year 2019 budget to include the electrical department changes addressed in this memo from the finance director. And if do I need to read these three changes, or
okay. We need a second to the motion.
A second.
Okay. Motion's been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger to revise part of the budget for the Petersburg Municipal Power and Light. Does that make sense? And basically, it's not adding to the overall budget. Just for the people listening, it's just moving some money from one line item
that's
to another.
That's absolutely correct.
Member Stan Greger?
Yeah, seeing your photos that you sent out about some of the problem trees, the one at 8 Mile, 5 weeks back, I was actually driving out the road that day. I saw it. I mean, there's lots of them out there for sure. I guess more just want to recognize, thank you for getting on that and putting this in the budget. No one likes having their power out for any length of time, so let's get on it. Thank you.
Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So is this work that would be done this year?
It would start happening however we decided to do it, if we're going to just do a public services thing, if that's what it was called, or whatever you...
Professional
services, then we don't have to advertise. But I think there is a few different people in town that do that line of work.
There are lots of haulers in town, yeah. But are they licensed and insured? And, you know, we want to make sure that the borough is covered, you know, in this activity. It's really dangerous work, so it's important.
They wouldn't want me out there with the chainsaw. So, Member Walter.
A question on that same vein is, didn't we have a policy someplace where we had to put something out to competitive bid if it was over a certain amount of money?
The threshold is $30,000?
Yeah.
For a bid, for professional services, the bid doesn't come into play.
Okay. So we have $50,000 set aside. I mean, that's what you set aside. Would you think it would be prudent, Carl, in your mind, to put this out for an RFP? Seeing how there might only be one person in town that is eligible, but, I mean, if we still do due diligence?
At the present time, the quote that we have is not even close to the $50,000, so that would be the top of the expense over the year. I think it'll be, after this initial effort out at 8 Mile, then we'll start looking at specific trees around town that somebody could help us with. So it's not a general... scope of work. We don't know the specific scope of work quite yet, but having the money to address trees that we find are an issue throughout the year will be very very nice to have that latitude of the budget. So it's harder to blanket the community with a certain, you know, contract. I don't think I explained that very well, but.
Okay. I think I might have understood that. So if we set this $50,000 aside, we may have a bunch of little $10,000, you know, expenditures. So I'm
correct.
Good with that. So, okay, yeah. Thanks, Carl.
Member Stan Greger?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to state that I'm perfectly comfortable with it done as a professional services thing. The way you explained that makes sense.
Okay, any other discussion on this amendment to the budget? Clerk, call the roll. Do you have it all clear as mud, Debbie?
Yes, basically a yes vote. It says yes, revise the budget for power and light tree issue. Okay, so Jay.
Yes.
Brandy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for bringing that to our attention and getting that money moved around so we could address that. And that brings us back to the main motion with the two amendments, one passed, one failed. Or they got both passed, I guess, to remove the $2,000 and to move the $50,000 around to cut some trees. So is there any other discussion on the main motion as amended? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so the budget is passed. Next item on the agenda is ordinances for the second reading, and the first one under that category is ordinance 2018-15. This is an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code Chapter 14.20, entitled Municipal Harbors, to increase harbor fees. I'd entertain a motion to approve this in its second reading.
So move. Or second.
Okay. Motion been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Walhooter. Is there any discussion on this proposal? And just for the people listening, that we had a public hearing on this ordinance earlier, and there was no one here objecting to it. So that's, I don't know if that means everybody's in favor of it or not, but thought I'd add that to this discussion. So any discussion on this harbor increase? Clerk, call the roll.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, ordinance 2018-15 passes unanimously in its second reading. Next item under ordinances for second reading is actually a resolution, and it's resolution 2018-02. And this is a resolution to decide where the $464,711 to finalize the municipal building project will be transferred from. It's actually not the true title of the resolution. There are two options that have been presented to us by the finance director. So to open that discussion, I'll entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2018-02.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Strand. And is there any discussion on this? Member Morrell.
There was two options, right?
So there are two options, A and B.
Should we make the motion in the form of one of them?
Yes. Yeah.
Would that be more proper to Debbie?
Yes, it would be better.
Can we start? Should we just start it over?
Yeah, let's just do this again.
Okay, well, maybe I could explain to the public
that's
listening
discuss.
Is what we're doing here. But back, I guess it was January of 4th of 2016, the Borough Assembly approved resolution to commit using $1.3 million in an internal fund loan from the electric fund that would have had interest on it of 1.5% to help fund a municipal building renovation project. The project is now complete, and rather than $1.3 million approved, we only need the $464,711 to pay the balance. One idea was to use some of this year's SEPA rebate, which was $685,158. And the other was to just take it out of the general fund balance. Is that correct, Jody?
Yes, that's correct.
And so options A and B. The reason we decided not to just spend some of the SEPA money a few months back was to wait until we got the analysis done on the Crystal Lake Hydro project. And that is still in its works right now. So we're waiting for the engineers, consultants, McMillan and Associates, or whatever the name of the outfit is, to come back with us. So anyway, my recommendation would be to use the general fund, but I can't make a motion, so I'll entertain a motion to either pick resolution A or B.
Which one's which?
Member Castro.
All right. Well, I make a motion to use resolution 2018-02A, providing use for the general fund to pay for the needed costs.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Stanton Greger, to take the money to pay the balance off on the remodel of this building from the general fund. Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question for the finance director, Jody. What impact does that have, obviously, besides the money, or how does that impact your world as finance director and the general fund using that money? Or what impacts do you see?
Lower the general fund reserves. Our fund balance policy is to keep within 4 and 6 months of general operating expenses. We're currently at 5.6 months. This would lower us to 4.95 months, which is still between the 4 and 6 months.
Still well within budget policy.
Comfortable doing this.
Good. Thank you.
And part of the reason our reserves are healthy, is that because of the Secure Rural Schools funding and PILT that just came in? Does that have any factor in it?
Yeah, they both do.
Yeah, I thought they would. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to clear in my mind, maybe the people listening Any other discussion on the motion? Member Castro.
Sure. Yeah, I like the idea about being able to use that SEPA money and reintroducing it back to the community. I heard an opportunity such as like a heat pump rebate program, you know, which is great for encouraging the public, you know, conserving energy and, you know, just getting new technology installed in their homes. And I think that that's, I mean, being as that the ratepayers ended up, you know, paying the and getting the rebate back through the SEPA rebate, be nice to be able to just kind of keep it, you know, so the public can use it.
Right. Hopefully we'll be able to do some work out at the Crystal Lake facility when we get all the information from the engineers. So with the, is there any other discussion on this resolution? Clerk, call the roll.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is E, and that's the police chief research, or police chief search finalist interviews. I guess the question here is there any other assembly members that would like to be part of the final selection committee? I know Member Strand has voiced interest.
I'm still interested.
And I believe it's going to happen on the 13th. Is that what the proposed date is?
Yes, correct.
Mr. Mayor, can two people be on there?
Yes. I believe so.
I wouldn't mind doing it then.
Okay, and then I guess this will have to be vetted by the assembly. Is this?
Yes, and before you guys decide, just wanted to let you know, the way he has it structured right now, there are two empty slots. We do have local residents interested in those slots, one of them being Susan Erickson, one of them being John Hogue, one being Deborah Downs. But Steve wanted the assembly to have the opportunity, if you wanted to fill any of the two empty slots on the interview board, to do so.
If I've seen how we already have one, I'll just withdraw my name.
I think it would be important to have a couple assembly members on the committee. I would be willing to
stay.
Participate, but I'll be probably leaving town that day or early the next, so I won't be able to. Is there any other assembly members willing? If not,
well, I'll stay on. I just thought
that's acceptable, isn't it?
That's acceptable.
Yep. Does the assembly okay with that? Member Bucci.
Yeah, it's fine if Curtin or assembly member Walhood or Strand want to be on it, but I think it'd be important to maybe reach out like Susan Erickson to see if she is interested, because I think
we already have and she is.
Okay. So my thought being that more of the public that we have in on the interview process, the more public buy-in that we'll have that we get a candidate that meets our needs. When it's all said and done, it's going to come before the assembly anyway. And all during this process, I'm sure we're all aware of what's going on in the interview process and stuff, and we have an opportunity to make comments as the process goes on, but I don't know. I'm kind of a big believer in letting members of the community that we identify as helping us in finding good people, helping us out.
Do you have, Jay?
Were you done, Member Mucci?
Yes.
I didn't want to cut you off. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Probably a silly question, but we have a set number of people for this interview panel. Like, we could not add Susan Erickson to that?
Well, we certainly could. There could be more than what the manager had planned in the beginning, yes.
The reason I ask is you talk about John Hogue, Debbie Down, and Susan Erickson. Those are three very well-respected community members who I think would have a lot of great impact input on the matter. So I don't know how we navigate that, but I know I'd like to have them involved with that.
Well, the panel can be made larger. Yes. Steve is just asking for your input.
I guess my input would be to try to include some more of those community members, because I definitely echo what Member Mucci was saying.
Mm-hmm. And I had the same question as Member Stanton Greger did, whether there's a set number, and it doesn't sound like there is. So I guess if we
there was just, to begin with, but it can grow.
Right, and and we've talked about this originally, that there could be change later on if assembly members got interested and were to that point, I believe so. I feel if the Member Walhooter and Member Strand are willing to be part of it, that's great. And if other community members are invited to the table, I'd be good with that too. So So does that answer Steve's question kind of in a vague way?
So basically what I'm taking is that everyone agrees that, yes, we would like to have the two assembly members, but also more community members that would like to be on it as well. So we just...
We have to take action on this to give the manager direction, which maybe we should. And, you know, I don't know if we have to. Member Stanton Gregor, what's your thought?
I just wanted to see if that worked for Member Mucci, because you're the one that raised the concern. So and I follow your concern and find it very valid, of course. So I want to see how that tracks with you.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I just assume, me personally, I like to see it just be members of the community. I mean, the assembly members always get a chance to weigh in on whether it's this issue or any other issue. And I think by letting community members kind of go through this whole process, it takes a little bit of some of our work away from us. I mean, we're all aware of the candidates, the resumes and stuff, but I think it gives, I know it gives me an opportunity to hear from other people who I don't always hear from. And I think it's just good for the whole process. I'm not saying the assembly on this committee wouldn't be good, but I wouldn't want the assembly members to be, I'd want the assembly to kind of sit back and let these folks kind of sort out some of the details that we would be dealing with at the interview level in the same regards that we would be dealing with it when it gets time to hire an individual. So that's my concern.
Thank well, you, since we have a difference of thoughts, maybe we need to make a motion and vote on it if we can't just come to a consensus without voting. What do you think?
Yes, yeah. I agree with you.
Okay. So, Member Mucci, do you want to make some kind of a motion to just have members of the public and not assembly members involved at this point in the...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we have the police chief interview committee made up of community members not assembly members.
I'll second that.
Okay, you second that, Mr. Walhuter?
Yep.
Motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Walhuter to not have any assembly members involved in the recruitment process. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Brandy?
No.
Eric?
No.
Jay?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
No.
Mark?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, so that motion fails with a 5-2 vote with, I can't remember who voted to.
Kurt and Jeff voted yes.
Okay, and you have it on the record, so that's fine. So now we move forward. Do we need to vote again, or I think that kind of made the vote for what we want to do. We want to, Member Mucci.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to have the police chief interview panel participants be made of members of the public and one assembly member.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made to allow one assembly member to be on the panel. Any discussion?
Member Walhuter. I'll make it easy. I'll rescind my desire to be on the board and relinquish that to Sue Erickson. I've seen how she's the only other name on here right now. So.
Member Stanton Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can get on board with that. It's compromise as it is. I would have been okay with two, for that matter, because if people want to volunteer their time to be a part of the interview process, whether you're on the assembly or not, I don't think it can hurt. But your point is well taken, having members of the community really driving this thing, Member Mucci. So I will definitely be voting for your amendment.
Was there a second to that?
Oh, shoot it.
Most recent amendment?
Yeah, Member Walhuter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we'll vote to allow one assembly member if there's no other discussion on the motion. Member Colerole. Oh, Member Strand.
I have a question. So one assembly member, which hopefully is me because I am interested in this, and how many additional citizens?
We said one.
Said one.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll let them hash that out amongst themselves. I don't want to get it in a vote. And right now, so we'll let the manager decide who he wants, in my opinion.
Just a question. Debbie, Did we second that motion?
Yes. Jeff made this second motion, and Jay seconded
it. Oh, okay. Somebody got there.
Okay.
Thank you, clerk.
This is getting more confusing than it needs to be, so do we know what we're voting on? We're going to allow one assembly member and one additional member from the public to be on this selection committee.
Great. And this additional member, Kurt, Member Wohlheuter, I apologize, did specify the additional. Is that how we're handling it?
No, if I did specify, I didn't mean to specify specifically because I just said she was the only other name that I could see on the list right
okay.
now.
Okay.
So I didn't realize, you know, so I agree with Jay or Mark. We'll just let the mayor make that appointment.
Manager.
The manager. Sorry.
Okay. Sounds good.
Member Stan Gregor.
No, I'm good.
That was just a thumbs up?
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Call the roll, please.
Thank you. Jay.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Brandy.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next little note on the agenda before new business is there's one item under unfinished business, unilateral implementation of the borough's last, best, and final offer with the PMEA union. It will be taken up following the executive session. And that will be item 19A. Does anybody need to take a break, or should we proceed with the rest of the meeting? Okay, just thought I'd ask. New business, item 15. First item under new business is ordinance 2018-16. This is an ordinance proposing amendments to Chapter 4.28, sales tax of the Petersburg Borough Code by deleting Section 4.28.130, senior citizen exemption, adding new section 4.28.155, annual sales tax rebate for qualified senior citizens, amending section 4.28.020, definitions, and directing that the amendment be submitted to the voters of the borough at the October 2nd, 2018 borough election. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Barole, and a couple others it sounded like, but discussion. Member Strand.
I am all in favor of putting this on the ballot. I do have some problems with some of the amounts. I question whether it should, if it's tough for a senior to live on $15,000 a year, it's certainly tough for anybody to live on $15,000 a year. I wonder if the tax exemption should be extended to all ages as, you know, needs-based. I wonder about raising the tax cap. There's all kinds of things we could direct this group to take up. But I will be voting for it to go on the ballot.
Any other discussion? Member Stanton Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First off, I'll be voting for this today for several reasons. First reason is it's an ordinance, it takes three readings, so I want to get that in front of a public hearing. There's that one. Two is I like the direction the community members who came forward today are taking with this. I think I like this personally because it protects those most vulnerable in our population, low-income seniors. The wording is not restrictive. In fact, it's inclusive. Protecting the most vulnerable in our community is a responsibility, in my humble opinion. And I'd be curious to see what the senior and general voting population, how they feel about that part of it, and see where it goes. So I'll be voting yes.
Member Bucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I guess a question for Assemblymember Strand. Are there some amendments to this ordinance that you'd like to work on?
No, I don't even want to start with that.
Okay, well, you know, I'd hate to have it, Mr. Mayor, I'd hate to have it on the ballot if it was not something that we liked. I mean, we have a couple more readings if we pass it today that it could be worked on over the next couple weeks so that when it came back to us for a second reading, it would have some of the changes that you'd like to see that would make it more, you know, palatable or...
You know, go ahead, Member Strand.
Can we also amend it at the second reading after we've heard public input?
Yep. Any of the three readings that can be amended. Member Mitchie, you done? Yep, Member Strand?
But it has to be, I think that there's an issue about the timing.
Well, to get it on the ballot, no.
We're fine.
We're fine timing-wise. It just, they didn't have time if they would have, if the people proposing this would have followed through with an initiative petition, I think is what happens, whether asking the assembly to do this. And I'm all in favor of putting it on the ballot. I'm not so much in favor of the idea of it. And I've read through it, and maybe some of it could be changed. I won't be at the rest of the meetings, but I like the idea of the public's going to get a vote on. It sounds like there's going to be all kinds of education coming our way and ideas from the two ladies that talked under views related to the agenda items today. So I'll vote for it to get on the ballot, but I don't think I would vote for it to pass, just so everybody knows where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. Member Wallhutter.
No, I think this is a great idea. Right now we're scrimping and, you know, to try to just, you know, balance the budget the way it is now, and it's not going to get any better if we don't have those people that can afford to participate to participate. I mean, I'm 63, and I'm looking down the barrel at this opportunity for myself if I want to be self-centered. But, I'm also looking at, you know, the young people around this community that will have to shoulder the burden that I think we all should be able to shoulder if we can afford it. So, no, I'm going to be in favor of this one myself. So.
Member Castro.
Yeah, and I too am in favor of this. I look forward to it being a needs-based program rather than it just being, a right or a privilege. I look forward to seeing how this goes in the public comments that are to follow.
Any other discussion on Ordinance 2018-16 in its first reading? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. No. Or yes. We need to put it on a ballot. I'm thinking of something else. Yes. That's a yes vote.
Thank you. Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the first reading of Ordinance 2018-16 passes unanimously. The next item is the resolution. It's Resolution 2018-08. This is a resolution adopting the Petersburg Borough Multi-Hazard Mitigation Plan as presented to us by EMS Director Dixon. So I'd entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Wallhutter. Discussion? Member Castro.
Sure. Yes, I appreciate that we have members in our community who have the resolve to be able to put something like this together. And, for the rare chance that something like this were to happen. So I applaud all those who were in the implementation or in the conception of this plan.
Any other discussion on this resolution? Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, before I forget, I want to go back to the mayor's report for a minute, if I could. I just thought of I think everybody's seen the emails about, Member Mucci, you'll be in town on the 6th, day after tomorrow,
yeah.
And we're going to meet with the manager to go over the
evaluations.
And I would like to have a special meeting to address that prior to the next regular meeting on the 18th, so I will be out of town. I could call it as being the mayor, but I'd like support from the assembly to have that meeting. It could be during the daytime. It should be a brief meeting, half an hour long, I'm assuming, maybe, if that, executive session. Does Friday the 8th work for everybody at like 4:30?
That'd be perfect.
Well, one, we have two. I mean, yeah. And if that doesn't work for Member Stanton Greger, we could maybe adjust a little bit. I think our little discussion earlier, you said 4.
And you guys were talking about the 11th.
4:30 on the 8th is fine. I can't be there, I can't be there. It's all good.
Okay, does that work? We'll have a quorum? All right, perfect. Sorry, now that thought process kicked back in. So now we're on Resolution 2018-09, a resolution setting the millage rate for the fiscal year July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2019. I'd entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 2018-09.
So moved. Second.
Motion been made by Member Wallhutter, seconded by Member Mucci. And this would set the mill rate, I believe, a little bit lower than last year, Jody?
Yes, it would.
So, and it's with a balanced budget, so just so the public knows that. Any discussion?
I'm all in favor of that.
Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda, Resolution 2018-10, a resolution setting regular borough assembly meeting start times to 6 p.m. from March 1st through October 31st annually. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Castro. Member Mucci, you asked to have this on the agenda today, so yes, your thoughts?
Yes, I did, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. You know, we've talked about this several times throughout since I've been on the assembly here, and I understand members of the assembly, some people like the noon meetings, but for me personally, during the field season, it's really hard for me to attend a 12 o'clock noon meeting telephonically. It just does not work for what I do. And especially since we want to keep the business of the borough going on a regular basis, and you know, I try to participate as much as I can. And it's not just about me. I talk to several business owners around town when I'm wandering around or working on stuff, and members of the business community have a hard time coming here at noon when they have just a brief time to run home, grab something to eat, and get back out and take care of business. So while I understand some members of the assembly have a difficult time making it in the evenings, I was hoping that we could just kind of set our spring and fall meetings at 6 o'clock, as the resolution says, from between March 1st and October 31st, have all of our regular city council meetings at 6 o'clock p.m., just in an effort to get, and not just myself, but members of the community who want to attend and participate, give them the opportunity to do that. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Member Castro?
Yeah. I, too, struggle at coming to noon meetings during the middle of the field season and everything. Trying to get employees going certain directions is kind of right smack in the middle of the day. However, I feel that March 1 through October 31st might be too long. I feel that, you know, if one of the original intentions of setting a noon meeting was to allowing off-island folks the ability to safely transit the narrows in order to make it to a 6 o'clock meeting, that's not really possible at March 1st or the end of October. So, I mean, perhaps maybe June through end of September or something might be able to be a reasonable compromise, you know, because we have more daylight. Folks definitely can, you know, safely make the trip into town for a 6 o'clock meeting and then make it back thereafter. That's how I feel about that.
Member Stanton-Greger?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'm with Member Mucci on this. Noon is a fairly awful time for me meeting a lot of time. As a self-employed person, it's far from convenient. But like you said, it's not about me on that. The historical context, again, on this was, as Member Castro just touched on, to allow people outside of Service Area 1 and more specifically people off-island to be able to safely and conveniently attend noon meetings. And obviously, looking out at the audience, I see nobody from off-island right now, but that's not the point. The idea of this was discussed during borough formation, the new assembly, of a way to be inclusive. And I think this was the compromise, one of each, where no party is totally satisfied, which in general is a sign of a good compromise when nobody's really happy with it. And I think this falls into that category, so I can't vote for this.
Any other discussion? Member Walter?
I'd like to throw a wrench into this whole thing while we're discussing. I've attended by telephonically a lot of meetings in the summertime, and they're usually fairly brief. I'm wondering if we couldn't consolidate it to just one meeting a month from say, June, July, and August, you know, and make it at 6 o'clock at night or something like that.
I think that thought has been brought up before. I mean, I could see generally it might be fine, but if we're going through you know, a crunch time to get the budget approved by a certain date, you know, well, I guess that's behind us now. It might be an issue with one meeting. If I could make an amendment, I would amend this to or propose an amendment. I'd make it 6 o'clock in the evening for both meetings for the whole year. But we've tried that before, and it hasn't gone anywhere, so it's throwing my feelings out there. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the spirit of compromise, I would be willing to go from April 1st to October 31st. I know it's not the time for the amendments to it, but I'd certainly throw that out there for folks to chew on.
So I should have changed this as it's been proposed. We'd need an amendment, motion for an amendment, and a second, and then discussion on that and a vote. And so is that in form of a member Strand?
Since it's become a question of daylight hours, perhaps we should make all the winter meetings from November 1st through February at noon so everybody can get home by before dark.
I knew this was going to be the conversation here. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to amend my motion, if possible, to have the start time of the assembly meetings to start at 6 o'clock p.m. from April 1st through October 31st.
I'll second that.
You have that, Debbie? October 1st through?
April 1st through
April
October
through October. 31st. So is there a second? You seconded that. A discussion on the amendment to change the dates from instead of March, it'll be April, basically, to start the 6 p.m. Member Standgreger.
Just briefly, that I will be opposing this for the aforementioned reasons I gave.
Okay. So any other discussion on the amendment? And that's to change it 6 p.m. meetings from until April, between April and October to 6 p.m. both meetings. Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy?
No.
Brandy?
Yes.
Eric?
No.
Kurt?
No.
Jay?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, the amendment fails with a 3-4 vote with members, I believe, Moreau, Mucci, and myself, the mayor, voting in favor of the change of the date, time and date of the evening of the meetings. Now, since that failed, we're back to the main motion from March 1st to October 31st. The meetings will be at 6 in the evening. I believe that's the next vote we will be taking. Is there any discussion on the main motion? Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
No.
Nancy?
No.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Eric?
No.
Okay, so the meetings stay the same, one at noon. First meeting of the month is at noon. Second meeting of the month is third Monday of the month, and that'll be at 6 p.m. Okay. We're voting now on a ratification of the tentatively agreed to July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2021 collective bargaining agreement between the Petersburg Borough and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 1547. I'd entertain a motion to approve this.
I'll move.
Ratify it, I guess.
Second.
Second. Motion's been made by Member Moreau, seconded by Member Wallhuter. Any discussion on this vote to agree to the IBEW's contract? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, the ratification of the agreement passes unanimously. That brings us to communications. And we have the first item is letters from DNR about the land selection. After we selected our 14,000 acres, it was brought to our attention that some of it was in Thomas Bay, I believe, going to be forestry land, Debbie, is that right?
Yes.
In state forestry land. And we asked them at DNR not to put any of that land up for sale until our requests have been fulfilled for the land. So we got a letter saying that that was the case from Mr. Mesh, I believe, Mazik, or whatever, how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, this is just communication. It's no action necessary. And then we got a letter back from DNR. I believe we don't have a deadline anymore. Is that correct, Debbie?
Correct. Basically, we've met the deadline.
Met the deadline. So now it's just a matter of them approving or disapproving the lands we selected, and hopefully we get our total allotment. So with that being said, that brings us to assembly discussion items. Recognitions. Are there any recognitions today? Member Castro.
Sure, yes. Well, I'd like to honor and recognize the volunteer service that Captain Bob Carter ended up giving to the search and rescue team. He retired as of May 31 and is moving out of town to be closer to his family. He's been a member since 2005 and took over the captainship from John Pickens in the early 2010s. We're fortunate that Bob has passed over the duties of being captain to a very skilled and capable volunteer, Patrick Fowler. So, lucky to have him.
Okay, great. Any other recognitions? I'd like to recognize the people that organized and put on the Little Norway Festival this year. It was well attended. There were some more games on the street, and it seemed to be well attended, and people that came from out of town and seemed to really enjoy themselves. So thanks for all your efforts. I know it's not easy. Any other recognitions? Okay, at this time, I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
I would move.
Member Morrell needs to excuse herself.
Mr. Mayor.
Thanks for showing up.
Oh,
see you later.
See you.
Go ahead. I would move the assembly adjourn to executive session to discuss the status and strategy with regards to unfair labor practice filing by the PMEA union against the borough.
So moved.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And that's the sole reason. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. We'll take a 5-minute break while the room clears. And we'll...
We should.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues. Commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.